Hi everyone, I'm Lee Stabert, Editor-in-Chief of Keystone Edge. Welcome back to PRISM, a podcast series produced in partnership with the Pennsylvania Council on the Arts. The goal of these conversations is to shine a light on the power of creativity in PA communities. In this episode, we're talking about immigrants, artists who came from abroad to make the Commonwealth their home. Through their work, they are enriching their communities and adding to the state's bounty of public art. Chen-Ling Kai came to Philadelphia for a master's degree. A muralist back in Beijing, his colorful new city was a perfect match for his talents. Our other guest, Freddie Human Malki, who you'll hear from first, is a master woodcarver whose personal life brought him from Peru to Erie. He takes a multi-pronged approach to his artistic practice, restoration, education, and creation.
My name is Freddie Human Malki, and I live in Erie, Pennsylvania, and I moved to United States from Peru in the spring of 2012. I train classical woodcarver, and I am also a trained fine art conservator, and I also do sculptural large-scale carving pieces.
So what brought you to the United States and what brought you to Erie specifically?
The reason is the love. My wife is from Erie originally, so we moved for that reason.
So what did you think of Erie when you first got here?
My first reaction when I came to Erie, it was, where is the people? Because it was pretty difficult for me to come a different place, and from Peru you see crowded streets, and in Erie it was such a the contrary.
How did you connect with artistic opportunities and work once you got to the United States? You know, dealing with a whole new infrastructure, a whole new culture.
Well, I would say it was a pretty big transition, a pretty big difficult time for me, especially during the first two or three years, because of the lack of communication. I never spoke any English before I came to United States, so I don't know what I was thinking before I came.
Did you take English classes? How did you go about developing those skills?
Well, yes, I took some English classes at a place that is called Multicultural Resource Centers, and then I took for 3 or 2 months, I think. But then I realized I wasn't learning too much. So I just decided to leave this place and basically start to talking with people on the streets and interacting, and then and trying to find opportunities, which it is still difficult here.
You say it's difficult, and you can talk about those challenges, but can you also talk about some of the opportunities that you have had, either in Erie or in the region generally, or just in the United States, to practice your work? And were there any sort of opportunities or things that came along that really changed things for you and enabled you to kind of get things going?
I think now Erie, it's a more welcoming city for artists. It's getting more, more attractive, because for the diversity also of different artists who are coming from different places, and like myself. I tried to focus on developing and consolidating my three professional realms, which is the classical wood carving, and then large scale contemporary pieces, and then teaching wood carving.
I saw that you've gotten involved in some public art projects in Erie. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Erie, like I was telling before, pretty welcoming for artists. Erie Arts and Culture right now, it's doing a great job working with local artists and with the community, especially. I would say thanks to the executive director, Patrick Fisher, who is doing a great job of networking with community and artists. Last year, for example, we worked on a project. The title of our project was called Sitting Community. It's in collaboration with, like I said, Erie Arts and Culture, and other two artists, trying to make a bike corridor. At the conclusion of our project, we did a sculptural piece basically made by bicycle pieces, like rims, and then we welded it together and we created a large-scale sculpture. The size of this piece is 15 feet in diameter, and it is installed on the between the 19th Street and French Streets in Erie.
Freddie, I'm realizing that I never asked you how you started wood carving.
That's a great question. I'm always excited to share this story. And I started as an apprentice. I think this is still you can find in many other countries, especially like Europe or I'm sure also in Asia and South America. It's like, for example, wood carving, it's passed through into the family. It's like a familiar tradition. So unfortunately, I don't come from a familiar tradition of wood carvers. So, but in my city, it is pretty known for its craftsmanship. In Peru, Ayacucho, it's the name of my city. I always was like amazed of this Baroque, this pretty ornate altarpieces in these Catholic churches from the colonial period. So, and amazed of who did this, you know, these carvings, how they made it. So I realized that there were still people who does this type of ornate carvings in my city. So I went and I asked him if I can be an apprentice. But like I said, if you're not from the family, it's pretty difficult to be accepted. But finally I was accepted and I started my training at the age of 9. 9 years old.
9 years old.
Yeah, nine years old.
That's an interesting cultural difference. Like, you know, in the United States, we don't do anything at 9 years old except for like play t-ball or, you know, I don't know. That's pretty amazing.
Yeah, 9 years old. But at 9 years old, I was already start like carving. I start like the boy, you know, who cleans the studio, the boy who, you know, puts all in order the wood and who cleans the workshop. After maybe a year or a year and a half after doing this, then the master allowed me to use his carving tools. But it was pretty painful. Who can take seriously a poor boy who wants to learn wood carving? It's a pretty slow process of learning, but it was amazing. So now I would say I'm pretty glad that I chose that path, and now I can share what I had been learning during this almost 30 more years working in this amazing profession.
My name is Chen Lin Cai. I came from China and currently I live in Philadelphia. I came to Philadelphia 2014 and to study for my second master degree of fine arts. And I studied in Pennsylvania Academy of Fine Arts. And after that, I graduate and I feel Philadelphia is a nice city for me to live and to continue to work with my art. So I decided to stay here and continue to make my art, not just for making work for the exhibition. Also, I participate in multiple mural projects in Philadelphia region, including New York.
How did you, moving here from China, go about building community and finding people to work with, you know, especially doing things like murals? I think they're very collaborative.
Before I came here, I'm already a mural artist in China, especially in Beijing capital. When I came here, I have no any other friends here. And as a Chinese people, Chinatown is a good region for me to start with a first connection. When I came here, came to Philadelphia, I knew Philadelphia is a city of murals, famous by the 2,000 to 3,000 murals in different areas of this city. But the more I get to know about Philadelphia, even though this city has more than 2,000 murals, of different kind of theme, and there's not that much mirror about the Asian culture or Asian community. In Chinatown region, just have 3 murals, and one of the murals is already covered by the building construction a few years ago, and the other mural will go on soon. I'm good at making art, painting, and especially murals a public art. I can communicate with the community people. And it's different with the studio art in the gallery. So my strategy is start to know the people here and introduce them. I can do mural and why don't you, no, just try to kind of introduce, recommend myself to them, and then, can I make a mural for you? Yep. And then can make a mural to decorate your like business, your restaurant. The more I'm making my mural, the more people know about me.
Are you surprised that you ended up living abroad, or is it always something that you wanted to do?
When I came to here, the living style, or the environment, the political environment is totally different with my country. To be honest, here in Philadelphia, you know, this city made me feel, you know, quite comfortable. Here people respect your opinion, and then especially they respect you, your art. And then I can use my art to, you know, express my voice, my thinking. So that's the reason why after I graduate, I decide to stay here for a longer term than living. And it's a good city. People here is friendly. I like it.
If someone who lives in Philadelphia wanted to go see your work, is there anywhere in particular you would point them to?
Currently, I'm working with the Philadelphia Chinatown Development Corporation for the 15 floors high murals in center of the Chinatown. So if you go to Chinatown, I have my murals on the ground. That's a plaza called 10th Street Plaza. That's on 10th Street and Vine Street. The murals start from the 6th floor of the building to the 20th floor. So that one is really big. And you can see it from the highway. And and of course, I have more murals in Chinatown region, also in Old City, Philadelphia, in West Philly, in different kind of, venues. Mostly the restaurant, because, restaurant people, they want to use mural to decorate their environment. And then I'm not simply making mural just decorate for decoration. I also told the business owner, I want to make a mural to tell about your story. So for example, like the mural created for a restaurant in Chinatown, the owner, he's the captain of Chinatown Dragon Boat Team. So I create a mural to depict the Dragon Boat Team, how they rolling the Dragon Boat. And then in Chinese culture, especially like East Asian and Southeast Asian, Dragon Boating is a symbol of the unity, people just fighting together for a better life.
You're listening to Prism on Keystone Edge, in partnership with the Pennsylvania Council on the Arts, which believes that building stronger communities takes creativity. Learn more about how the council supports Pennsylvania's diverse creative sector at arts.pa.gov.
And we're back with Freddie and Chen Lin. Both of you are fine artists as well as commercial artists. Can you talk a little bit about balancing those two sides of your practice?
To me, the list is not a problem. So to me, the commercial art practice is totally different. When I'm making my art in my studio and then prepare for the exhibition, I'm creating art to express my own thinking, my expression of my inner voice. And when I'm making the commercial art, like a community art project, like murals, it's more like, I'm making an artwork to say the story about the people it represent, or to say the story about the place it represent. So it's totally different. I want to say I can balance them quite well. And any artwork make for the community or make for the commercial, I have to think about how people they read it, right? How people they react to this, and how can my art make the people or evoke they have the belonging up to this artwork, right? So for example, the murals tell a story for the community. The community need to recognize it, can accept it, but even not creating my own studio work, I just saying that's my true thinking, my own voice, and then I want people to see who I am.
So America is a place filled with immigrants. It is also a place, I think, with a really complicated relationship towards immigrants, especially in recent years. If you guys are willing, I'd love you to talk maybe about some challenges you faced being an immigrant artist, being a new American artist.
To me, my challenge mostly is from the language barrier, because my English was poor when I came here. Now it's even now my English is so poor, but I'm just don't hesitate to use my poor English to introduce myself and introduce my art. But of course, for communication, sometimes the language is kind of a little bit challenge to me if I want to communicate that some my idea, my thinking much more deeper. And then this is the one challenge. Another challenge probably recently, that last year, we have the anti-Asian hate. So that probably is some issue people will just, you know, feel not comfortable, especially if you are Asian, right? And just in this society, start to feel unsafe. But to me, I'm a guy quite positive and quite optimistic. Best things happen. It's just like any society, any country have the bad guys. We just cannot just quit or just step back because of this, bad things happen. To me, I will try my best to overcome and then try my best to use my art. If people don't understand you, okay, just express your own voice out. Let them hear you.
I agree with Qingling in that way that the language barrier was my only, I would say, experience on that issue. Otherwise, I never experienced any circumstances that I was feel discriminated and yeah, nothing like that. Thankfully, my circle is with artists, with clients, with people who I guess understands other realities. I would say sometimes I just forget that I'm in United States because I pass my time in my studio, in my workshop, and I'm pretty concentrated on my work. I don't always think on where I am.
I was wondering if either of you, after having this conversation, have any questions for each other about your experiences or your work, or what it's like to be an artist here in Pennsylvania.
Qingling, when you do community art, how do you engage with the community when you do that? Do you have a special technique?
My strategy is when I start to do some, project for the community, right? Especially some of the community, they have some of the business, not just Chinatown, also for South Philly, Southeast Asian community. I will visit their store, their community, different store to working, to talk to them very briefly to introduce who I am and what project I will working for. And then in my project, I will have some community event or some art workshop for inviting the community member or the teenagers or the kids to come to participate and then contribute their thinking, their thoughts about the work I will create for them. So making them feel a little bit that made a sense of belonging. They are a person who can decide what kind of art, what art can be shown in their community. So this is my strategy to build up the trust between me and the community members.
Anything else either of you would like to mention before we finish our conversation?
I'm commissioned to do a series of sculptures at the new terminal of the international airport. And this is public art, which is going to be finished by the 2024. This is going to be on the carousel baggage claim area.
Yes, Freddie was being intentionally vague. He is not yet allowed to disclose the exact international airport where this project is taking place, but it is in Pennsylvania. And there's something beautiful about the idea of the next wave of immigrant artists seeing his work when they first land in their new country. Well, that's it for this episode of Prism. We hope you enjoyed it. If you have any thoughts or reactions to this episode, please reach out to us via our website, keystoneedge.com, or via our social channels. The best ones are Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. Until next time, thanks.